Choral spirituality. We are, all of us, members of God's great choir. You remember this, right? Each of us has a unique experience or encounter with God, our own part in the choir. And each of us sings about God in our own unique ways, through our own unique voice. This is a good thing. Diversity is a good thing. But it requires a very important spiritual practice, listening to one another. This Easter, we are practicing listening, learning how to articulate what God has done in our own hearts, so we can join in on the song that God is conducting, to sing our own part in the great choir of Jesus. Last week, we listened to Mary Magdalene, the witness, and heard about her experiences of God in Jesus and how they informed our own understanding of who God is and what the good news of Jesus is. Today, we listen to Thomas the Questioner. Thomas the Questioner. Often we know Thomas with a different epithet, don't we? Thomas is called the Doubter. And the reason why we call Thomas the Doubter comes from the story we heard this morning. Jesus has risen from the grave, and he has appeared to the disciples but one. Thomas wasn't there when Jesus first appeared. We don't know where Thomas was. Perhaps he was out picking up the food order for the rest of the disciples who were too afraid to leave. We don't know why Thomas was not in the locked room with those disciples. But we know why those disciples were in the locked room. They were afraid. They were crouched in fear because of what happened on Good Friday. Jesus, their friend, was taken from them, assaulted, given sham justice, crucified, and buried. And who knows? Perhaps those who did that to Jesus were going to come and do that to them too. So they locked themselves in a room and cowered in fear. But not Thomas. Thomas had every reason to be locked up with them, but perhaps there was something about Thomas that wasn't afraid. Perhaps Thomas was the sort of follower of Jesus who, despite the difficulties and the problems that come with following him, just kept on rolling up his sleeves and getting back to the work Jesus left them to do. Maybe Thomas was back in the temple preaching. Maybe Thomas was in the leper colony healing and connecting. Maybe Thomas was back in the wilderness feeding the hungry, you know, like Jesus did. Maybe Thomas was back doing all those good things his teacher used to do before he was taken from him. The name Thomas, after all, means twin. Written into his name is his ministry and his mission to be like Jesus. For Thomas, there's no time to be locked up in a room out of fear. There's work that needs to be done. And here we get a piece of the gospel according to Thomas the Questioner. Despite the terrible, despite the feelings, despite the fear, God's good work is going to continue by people who are willing to roll up their sleeves and keep on going. Maybe Thomas was like my dad, who always said, "If you see something that needs to be done, do it." Thomas was not in the locked room with the disciples, maybe because he saw some work that still needed doing and was out doing it. Thomas the Doubter? No. Thomas the Unafraid. Thomas the Bold. Thomas the Twin. Who do you know like that? Someone who, despite what is going on in the world or in their life, is still getting the work they need to get done, done. Someone who is facing their own sickness and grief, who still has time to call their neighbor to ensure their well-being. Someone who wonders if they can pay the rent, but still goes out to serve soup to the hungry. Someone who is not so overwhelmed by their own circumstances that the love of Christ cannot shine through their words and their actions. The story goes that after Thomas left his friends for the final time, he took the good news of God all the way to India, where he continued acting like Jesus, healing the sick, feeding the hungry, proclaiming the good news that God has come to heal and to help. And like Jesus, he was eventually killed by a jealous leader who thought his kingdom of tyranny was stronger than God's kingdom of love. Thomas was not in that locked room on that first resurrection day. We don't know why, but I like to think it's because he was unafraid and stuck to the mission handed to him by Jesus. I like to think of Thomas the Bold, Thomas the Unafraid, rolling his eyes at the trepidation of others. There is something gospelly about the ability to roll one's eyes at fear and be unperturbed by it. Now, Thomas eventually did meet again with his friends, the disciples. And while we are not absolutely certain why he was there this time, we have a strong clue. He wasn't there because he wanted to hang out with his friends. He wasn't there because he who was formerly unafraid was now afraid. He wasn't there because the coffee was good. He was there because he heard an incredible story. His friends had told him that they had seen the Lord. "We have seen the Lord," they said. And here we get another taste of the gospel according to Thomas the questioner. Thomas heard the strange story and went to look for himself. Maybe he first went to look for it out of a sense of disbelief, but he still went to that room to look for it himself. Here's the gospel according to Thomas the questioner. Disbelief, doubt, we might even say, doesn't keep questioners away. Thomas disbelieved, but he still went to the room with his friends. Thomas doubted, but he never gave up meeting with those who saw and believed. Disbelief or doubt must not, if we are to listen closely to the gospel according to Thomas, it must not keep people who question our beliefs or our faith from being part of our family. Disbelief or doubt must not, according to Thomas, lock people up in rooms where they have no one to wonder about life and hope and healing and love. Thomas disbelieved. He doubted, but he was welcome at church. He went to ask his questions, and those questions were tough. Jesus is alive? That's impossible. The dead don't live again. Virgin births? Come on. Get real. Eternal life? Scientifically unverifiable. Hope? In God's kingdom of justice, peace, and joy? Come on, look around you. Thomas was welcomed into the circle of Christ's followers and permitted to ask his questions. Doubt and disbelieving is fertile ground for those seeking the hope and peace and joy and love of God. So long as God's children tend to the garden of their hearts with compassion and genuine interest. Sometimes I wonder if we would rather keep our faith community locked up behind closed doors because we are afraid of other people's questions about our faith. We're afraid of their questions, their unbelieving. We're afraid that their doubts are right. And our believing, our faith, is going to be proven a lie. Ah, we must listen to the gospel according to Thomas the questioner. Doubt in a questioner's heart cannot keep them from having an incredible encounter with Jesus. Indeed, it might be why they have an incredible encounter with Jesus. Your own doubts about your faith are not a sign of betrayal or abandonment or distance from your Creator. They are moments of possibility for you to connect if you, like Thomas, will boldly go back to the place where you encounter Christ. If you feel doubt or disagreement or even disbelief, go to more church. Not less. Ask more questions, not fewer. If you are in a dark night of the soul or a dark night of the senses, if you are ready to throw this whole Jesus thing down and away, that is a sign to keep going, not a sign to stop. And maybe for a while you will come to church for the friends and for the coffee, or even because you're a little afraid, but I guarantee even there you will encounter Christ in new and in holy ways. This is the final point in the gospel according to Thomas the Questioner. Thomas did encounter Jesus, and he encountered Jesus in two ways. First, he encountered Jesus in a way that was different than those who had encountered Jesus earlier. Jesus proclaimed peace to the others, right? To Thomas, Jesus showed his hands and his side. We cannot expect everyone to have the same encounter with Jesus. Other people will have different encounters than you, and that's okay. That's even good. In this choir, there are many voices, many harmonies, and we all sing in our own unique ways how we have seen the Lord. Second, and this is quite surprising even, Thomas the Questioner meets Jesus exactly in the way that he said he would have for him to believe. Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe, says Thomas. We are, aren't we, a little nervous about expecting God to meet us where we are at? We've been trained to meet God where God is at. We are trained, I think, in an unhelpful way to treat God like a king, like a medieval monarch who will have no expectations placed on him by the rabble. We are trained to think of God like a celebrity or an untouchable who will never condescend to our petitions and our prayers. But that is not the God of the Bible. That is not the God who created this world and called it good. That is not the God who heard the prayers and the tears of the ancient slaves and then turned the world upside down to deliver them. That is not the God of the incarnate Jesus who hears us cry out for mercy and peace and healing and who meets us where we are at. Oh, we have a lot of unease with Thomas, so much so we'd rather call him the doubter and wag our heads a bit at him. But the gospel according to Thomas, the questioner, is that God hears the prayers and petitions of our hearts and meets us exactly where we need God to meet us. Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Listen to the questioner's testimony today. Listen to the song Thomas sings. It is a song of courage in the face of the terrible. It is a song of openness and honesty in the face of doubts and disbelief. And it is a song of praise and gratitude to his Lord and to his God who met him exactly where he needed to be met. This is the gospel according to Thomas the Questioner.